Hello again to you, one and all, on this Thanksgiving Eve. I'm Bernie Miklas, and welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on my YouTube channel. Pardon me, I almost have to sneeze there. I have really bad etiquette doing these videos. Always rubbing my nose. I get itchy or something. I don't know. What you see is what you get, my friends. What you see is what you get. What can I say? Anyway. I wanted to do a follow-up on Nolan Arenado because, let's face it, at the moment, it's probably the subject of more news and speculation than anything that has to do with the Cardinals right now. And I'm not talking about just simply among Cardinals fans. I'm talking about the fact it's created some national buzz. I'm referring to when Katie Wu, The Athletic, an excellent reporter, relayed to her audience at The Athletic that Nolan Arenado, of course, who's won 10 gold gloves at third base, is willing to move to first base to give teams that are looking for a first baseman something to think about, to give them some flexibility, another option. Or teams that, you know, for whatever reason, would just like the idea of having a first baseman, third baseman. You know, he can play both. He can move around. He can do DH a little bit. And the thing of it is, I'm really bad about fantasy baseball stuff as far as like, well, you could trade him to this team and because of A, B, C, and D. You know, you could probably make that up about or you could say that, I should say. You could say that about just about any team, you know. But here's my question today, or my topic today. Nolan Arenado, even though he's not quite as elite as a defensive third baseman as he used to be, and it's not as if like he's cratered and he's terrible, but he does save fewer runs, even though he's cleanly above average in terms of whether defensive run saved or outs above average. He still has really good metrics at third base. They're not great, great, great. So we are talking about, no doubt about it, an above average third baseman. And a lot of his value, if we're talking about wins above replacement, I mean, a lot of his value does come from his defense with his hitting in decline, and I'm going to get into that. That's what I promised. I'd be back for a part two on Arenado to just kind of provide the facts about how much he has slipped offensively from his first two seasons in St. Louis to the last couple of seasons in St. Louis. There's a pretty big shift there. So the fact, and I understand what Arenado and his agent, you know, what they're trying to do. I do understand, and it's worth a shot. You want to try to expand his market. You want to give teams something to think about who may need someone to play at first base or to at least play some games, a lot of games, half his games at first base. The best way I could put it is that, you know, the whole idea of possession, you know, positional flexibility, and sorry, I have to refer to my notes today on this. It's really to maybe bring some newer teams into the market. Like there may be a bunch of teams, well, just because he's going to be 34 and he's in decline offensively, there's going to be some teams that don't view him as someone they ought to look at in a trade, because they already have a third baseman. And it's like, well, you know, what's the point? We already have a guy. I'll give you an example. There are several, but I'm going to give you one that's pretty easy. Like, take the San Diego Padres, for example. And I've been reading some stuff on them. And, you know, they cut their payroll by $90 million last year and still had a really good year. And they still were spending good money. But they see the window starting to close a little bit. They really believe, you know, it's kind of like win, 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 now mode. So they might do something that it makes them a little uncomfortable because they're so determined to get it done in 2025. So when in Nolan Arenado, it's reported in The Athletic that he's, you know, wants to let teams know he's willing to play first base. A team like the Padres could come into that because they already have Manny Machado playing third, right? They don't need Arenado to play third. And this has nothing to do whether he's better defensively than Machado or whatever. It has nothing to do with it. They're set at third base, not so much at first base. So by getting the word out in public that and through the baseball media that he is willing to move to first base, Arenado could lure teams into having at least some interest in him to take a look and to think about it. Teams that otherwise wouldn't have if they viewed him as just simply an aging third baseman. So the other thing about that, so yeah, he may, there may be a little more, I can't sit here today and, you know, quantify how many teams, well, instead of having three teams interested in him, you know, he'll have five. I mean, I have no idea. You know, we in the media always assume these things, and it's just we jump to these assumptions. And I don't know. It's not something that appeals to me. But would it expand the market for his services? In theory, yeah. And I offered you one example that actually fits this scenario. Get more teams interested in you, Nolan Arenado, because now you're willing to move to first base or maybe split your time between first base, third base, whatever it may be. Flexibility is a good thing. Roster flexibility is a very good thing. But on the other hand, here we go. I assume he would do a competent job of playing first base. I assume that his defense would be fine. It might be average. It might be a little bit above average. Probably not going to be what it was at third base for obvious reasons. He's one of the greatest third basemen defensively in the history of our great game. You know, he's on the short list. So when you take a guy like that who's still above average defensively, now he's a first baseman, you lose some of that defensive value. In fact, you lose a lot of defensive value. And then that kind of takes you back to what the major problem is with him, other than the age and the contract concerns, although this is related to what I'm about to say. So if you remove a good amount of his defensive value by moving him off of third base, you're left with a soon to be 34-year-old first baseman who's never played first base, would not match the defense that he gave the Rockies and the Cardinals at third base. And then you're left with an aging first baseman with diminished defensive value at his new spot, who also has been in a pretty serious decline offensively over the last two seasons. You see what I'm saying? Like you're trading for the name brand, Nolan Arenado. Like that's what I think any teams that are interested are hoping just to get the name brand. Oh, it's Nolan Arenado. He's one of the greatest third basemen ever. Okay, he's lost something offensively. That's all right. But this guy's one of the great fielders at that position ever. And so if we're trying to win, and I think a lot of it has to do with trying to win like 25, 26, really going for it, right? They may be willing to take a closer look at him more so than before this idea about him playing first base. But if he play first base, maybe that's something they look at. Well, he can play third base for us and he can play some first base. That's very nice that he wants to do that. But the name brand, Arenado, is stronger than the actual performance, is what I'm trying to say. So do teams, and I don't think I explained that well, do teams that have some interest, are they kicking the tires because, A, that name brand is prominent in Major League Baseball among players? B, teams, even in this age where information is incredible in terms of what you can find out and what you can read when you do a deep analysis of a player and his performance, and even though front offices are a heck of a lot more smarter now about that's a red flag. Listen, age, contract, diminishing offense. That's a red flag, right? There's still baseball people out there. And again, I can't tell you how many, but there's still baseball people out there. There's still media out there. There are still a lot of fans out there who will say, well, he can bounce back. You know, he doesn't have to be the peak form Nolan Arenado offensively, but he can bounce back. You can get him out of Busch Stadium where he's been playing half his games for the last 4 years, and his offense will spike. His offense will come back. Not all the way, but it'll come back in a healthy way. You know, here's the deal. You know me, man. I got a curious mind. And when people present ideas to me that haven't occurred to me, or I haven't thought about that much, or ideas that seem to be really common in terms of like, well, there's a common assumption, common belief. Well, you know, Busch Stadium has really, really, really siphoned his offense. If you get him out of Busch Stadium, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I get it. I'm not saying people are wrong to think that. But I always like to kind of look into it. And let me find it here, if I may. There's really not a dramatic difference in Arenado's offense at Busch Stadium and road games over the last 4 years. Now, if you're looking for a higher slugging percentage, he would give you a higher slugging percentage on the road compared to home. But the gap is not as huge as you would imagine, especially if you look at it over the last 2 years rather than in 2024, especially because he slugged 394 overall. This gap, this gulf is not as wide as you would assume. And that's why I wanted to look this out, check this out. I mean, he's got a home as a Cardinal, home OPS of 790. Which again doesn't really take into account his decline over the last 2 years. But we're talking at it as a 4 year block. And then his road OPS is 804, which means, you're getting a little more bang for your buck unless he's strictly in the 2004 mode. So I don't know what to say about that. I don't see this massive difference. In fact, if you use weighted runs created plus, I know some of you don't like the gobbledygook, but to me, it's really simple because you don't need to understand the formula. It is a really good way to measure offense, and it gives you a snapshot of the state of someone's offense. And it does adjust for ballpark effects and things like that. So it would take into account Busch Stadium is maybe a little tougher to hit in, maybe with some people much more difficult to hit in. But I don't think that's true with Arenado. When I looked at this again this morning, you know, his home stats at Busch Stadium have been better than I thought. In fact, his home stats last year, the last couple of years, were really, really good as far as weighted runs created plus, WRC plus. But anyway, for his 4 years in St. Louis, he's been 18% above average at home offensively, above the league average, 18% above league average at home, and 17% above the league average on the road. We're talking about his all-around hitting. Not much of a difference there, right? It doesn't show you that, oh, my goodness, just look at how much greater he is on the road compared to home. It's just simply not true. I understand the belief. I understand the assumption. I do. Not criticizing anybody for thinking that because I've thought that myself. But I think actually Arenado, to his credit, has adjusted to hit it in Busch Stadium and has done pretty well, all things considered, all things relative. He's done pretty well after making some adjustments. So that's one thing. Some teams are interested, think, well, you get him in our. Now, there may be specific ballparks where he definitely would have a surge in power. How much? I don't know. I don't have to go through a list of ballparks. You know all the places where, you know, they seem to be really, really good offensive parks. Sure, his bat could have a little extra life because of the ballpark effects. I'm not ruling that out. I'm just saying let's not assume everything. That's all. And if you're a team and you're thinking about looking at him as a first baseman, looking at him as a first baseman, third baseman, just to want, he can man either corner. But if, again, if he's losing a lot of his value, which is defense, if he's losing a lot of his value by playing first base, well, is his offense good enough at first base compared to the league and what first basemen do? Does he have the profile that you're looking for offensively at first base, where he's going to like hit at a high level? You know, and generally that's kind of the profile we always have in mind. Well, first baseman, you know, that's supposed to be an offensive position. And that's why you see guys like Wilson Contreras here in St. Louis. They're moving to first base, not because they're going to give you great defense there, because you want to get their bat in the lineup. How many times have we seen so many teams move aging players to first base because they can't run in the outfield? They can't cover ground playing third base anymore. They can't do this. They can't do that. But you want to have his bat in the lineup. And if you don't, if your DH is already there and you like him, well, then, hey, we'll put him at first base. I mean, that's what the Astros did with Lance Berkman. And Lance Berkman actually preferred to play the outfield. Corner outfield, but Berkman told me, "Oh my goodness, it's so much easier to play out there. People think you stick us old guys at first base, and it's going to save us wear and tear." He said, "There's a lot of stuff you got to master. There's a lot of stuff to worry about playing first base. It just never ends. You know, things you don't have to worry about when you're out in right field or left field." So if Arenado loses defensive value by making the switch, what are they left with? Teams that are interested in him, what exactly are they left with in terms of what to expect from his offense? Now, let me give you the 2-year decline. And once again, I apologize for not having fancy pants graphics. If someone could tell me if there's a school I could go to for 5 days and learn how to do all this stuff, so I could put graphics on the screen, I'd probably sign up and I'd pay some money. But as we sit here today, I'm not capable of putting graphics on the screen. And the thing of it is, I got no problem acknowledging that. I ain't got nothing to hide. Again, what you see is what you get. Here I am. All right, slugging percentage. So I got to give you some numbers, and it's boring. So I'll go slow, not because you can't process it, but I'm just saying if I rush through it, it's going to be hard to, you know, kind of let it all sink in. So let's take a look at some things. Slugging percentage in his first 2 years as a Cardinal, 513. Then his last 2 years as a Cardinal, 426. That's a pretty big drop. His first two seasons with the Cardinals, he ranked 13th among qualifying major league hitters, 13th in slugging percentage. The last 2 years, and this is all positions, by the way, the last 2 years, he has ranked 70th in slugging percentage. So he's going from 13th to 70th. All right, let's talk about OPS. His first two seasons as a Cardinal, which included that excellent 2022 season, but anyway, his first 2 years as a Cardinal, 848 OPS. His last two seasons as a Cardinal, 746. That's more than a 100-point drop. It tells you also his on-base percentage has been going down. How about the ranking? The first two seasons in St. Louis, Arenado was 22nd among all major league hitters in OPS. The last two seasons, 79th. So it goes from 22nd to 79th in the rankings for OPS. With home runs, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you what he has averaged before and after, and also where it ranks. So his first two seasons as a Cardinal, he averaged 32 home runs, and that ranked 15th in the majors. Pretty good. His overall home run count, his raw home run count was 15th in the majors. Well, the last two seasons, instead of averaging 32 home runs, he's averaged 21. And if you look at just the raw home run count, he's gone from 15th in the majors the first 2 years to 59th in the majors the last 2 years. And again, keep in mind, he'd be losing defensive value by moving to first base. And his first base numbers, well, going by his last couple of years, his first base numbers, the expectation is would be, well, you need a little more bang at first base. And maybe that's a cliche. And, you know, we got some smart dudes and dudettes watching this. So maybe you can fill me in on that. And, you know, you can say, well, wait a minute. And I'll tell you one thing. I was looking at the MLB average for first baseman offensively over the last 2 years. What does the position do offensively? And it was lower than I thought. I wasn't blown away by it. And so technically speaking, even in a diminished state, Arenado's offense would fit the trends the last couple of years of what MLB-wide you would expect from the first base position. But it's not that easy either, because a team that wants Arenado, the only reason they would want him under any circumstances is because they're trying to win in 25, 26. And they think, they cross their fingers, maybe they have some secret data that tells them it's worth the risk because he can help us next season and the season after that. We can squeeze a couple of good years out of him. Well, to make a difference, you know, that's the thing. He can't be down like, you know, below the cutoff line about average offense. And he'd have to be above average at least as a major league first baseman in terms of what he can provide at the plate. And that's the question going forward. So I'm going to continue with this. But the positional context offensively, it's not that he's, you know, his offense would be an eyesore, because I think we assume there's greater offense league-wide at first base than there really is. But that also doesn't cover the fact, you know, if you're looking about like the top 15, 20 first basemen as a group and what numbers they put up, well, then that's where there is some separation between the anticipated offense from Arenado and the guys that already been playing first base and really kicking butt offensively there. All right, so I told you he went from 13th to 70th in slugging first 2 years compared to last 2 years. 22nd to 79th in OPS in terms of raw home run count, 15th to 59th. Let's continue with, again, weighted runs created plus. All you need to know is 100 is average. His first two seasons as a Cardinal is 130. That means he's 30% above the league average offensively, and that was 27th in the majors. All players, all positions, qualifying hitters. Well, in the last two seasons, his wins, his weighted runs created plus, only 4% above the league average, and that puts him 82nd. So he goes from being 30% above league average offensively to only 4% above average the last 2 years. That's a pretty big drop, and I think the arrow is going to continue to point down, right? And so he goes from 27th in weighted runs created plus to 82nd first 2 years, second 2 years. Here's another win. His overall value, and this includes his third base defense, right? In his first two seasons as a Cardinal, this is all around play, base running, hitting, defense, right? That takes all those things into account. Arenado ranked seventh, tied for seventh in the major leagues in wins above replacement his first two seasons as a Cardinal. His last two seasons as a Cardinal, he's ranked 55th overall, all positions, which isn't hideous, but 55th ain't seventh either. And he lost about half, just a little under half of his wins above replacement value from the first 2 years compared to the last 2 years. He'd lost like half his value, almost half his value. That's a pretty big deal, I think. If you look at his defense, and I don't want to go too deep into that because, you know, his first two seasons, his outs above average, defensive runs saved were better. They were higher than they were the last two seasons. But listen, man, at third base, I can't say what he would be at the first base because we don't know. But last two seasons in St. Louis playing third base, ranking among third basemen, he was fourth in outs above average and sixth in defensive run save. So That's totally good. That's fine. You'll take that. Even if it means he's not going to be a big slugger, you'll still take it. If you need a third baseman, someone who can improve your defense. So there would be some appeal there. But not if you move him to first base, because I keep saying this. You know, he's going to lose a lot of his value by moving over to the other side of the infield. There's also, in addition to this age-related decline offensively, you know, this kind of fits into the decline of the Cardinals. And by the way, I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying Nolan Arenado is responsible for the last 2 years. He's the number one guy. I'm not saying that. The Cardinals, compared to 21 and 22, his first two seasons have not been the same team. Big scoop there, right? Not at all. They had a 565 winning percentage regular season his first two seasons. They're 42 games above 500. His last two seasons, winning percentage 475. That's a drop of 90 points. And they have been 16 games under 500, which is, 42 minus 16 is 26. That's a big swing in 2 years. So if you look at their winning percentage in the National League in his first two seasons, their winning percentage was fourth among the 15 teams. The last two seasons, winning percentage of Cardinals in the National League, 11th among the 15 teams. Again, the front office is the main problem with that. Not having like that gang, you know, Pujols in 2022, taking him out of there, taking the fact that Goldie and Arenado were MVP guys, Goldie first, Arenado third in 2022. There's some other factors too, where players are no longer what they were and blah, 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 blah. The pitching, the constant struggle to pitch better and find pitching and all that stuff. So it's not just Nolan Arenado. I'm not one to like disproportionately blame him for the 2 year decline of the Cardinals, but we also can't be silly and sit here and say that his decline offensively wasn't that much of a factor. It's a factor. It's just, I'm not going overboard with it, but his decline offensively, and there's been some decline defensively, even though he's still above average, but his decline over the last 2 years is one of the reasons they haven't been as good. Just as the way he performed the first 2 years in St. Louis, or one of the reasons why they averaged about 91 and a half wins in 21-22. So, and if you're looking at the whole Nolan Arenado story, you're also looking at, it's 8 career postseason games. And his statistics are embarrassing. They're awful. He had a home run in his first postseason game. He's done nothing the last 7. I had those stats that I used at some point in my video series. I don't have them in front of me. They're just bad. They're as bad as you'd think, right? And his postseason stats as a Cardinal, awful. Just flat out awful. He's done nothing. So I don't know whether teams look at that. I don't know whether contending teams think, well, look, so you get him on this big stage. He gets away from all the things like this 2 year rut he's kind of been in St. Louis. If you give him enough games in the postseason, we got the kind of team that can do that. He'll hit. You can't write them off because of a very small sample. And 8 games is indeed a small sample, but awful. He was just been awful in those games, except the very first one. So I was trying to monitor some reaction to this on social media last night. And Mike Petrillo does a great job from MLB.com. He's one of the smartest analysts that there is. And he's a common sense guy, and he explains it without getting too deep into the weeds where, you know, people like us, like I do to some of you, I confuse you with almost like too much information, right? I know that. I appreciate y'all for hanging in there, at least trying to pick up on some of the stuff, because it's not easy to listen to numbers. But Mike Petrillo said something, and I do respect his evaluations. I really do. I think he's a sharp dude. He said, I hope you don't hear hear something out there. I don't know, outside the lair, the Bernie lair. Got machinery going on. I don't know if you can hear that or not. Got some machinery. You got a soundtrack. Anyway, here's what Mike Petrillo put on social media, Blue Sky specifically, when the word came out that Arenado is willing to play first base. I'm going to quote Petrillo. Kudos to Arenado for being willing to be flexible, but his league average bat is considerably less valuable at first base, especially since he's still solid, although post-peak, at third base. Obvious contract issue, no trade clause, etc. But there are fits for Arenado in New York, meaning the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Astros, the Mariners, and the Blue Jays. He says potential fits. This isn't established as a fact. These are potential fits. Mike Pacello said in a follow-up, quote, I know Arenado would probably love to go finish his career with the Dodgers, and that would be cool, he means from a fan standpoint, but he's not a better player than Max Muncy right now. And it's not like first base DH are open for Max Muncy. Because they do have a guy named Freddie Freeman playing first base. So Petrillo continues, well, maybe you could fake it a little with Ohtani getting days off around pitching days and Freeman finally getting some time off, meaning, you know, as he's going to be 35 and he's banged up. So maybe, yeah, it'd be good to have Arenado can move over to play some first base. And then some Dodgers fans were getting involved in this and some other neutral baseball fans were getting involved in this. And basically Mike Petrillo was asked, well, you know, what would motivate the Dodgers to do this anyway? And Mike Petrillo said something that's really absolutely common sense. He said, quote, I'd probably only try if it involved Ryan Helsley coming back to the Dodgers too. So that's something, that's just another little opinion I'm throwing in there. I don't know. I was looking at this going on Mike Petrillo's queue. I was looking at, all right, who are some first basemen the last couple of seasons? First baseman, where you take Arenado's offense the last two seasons, and then you project it to be similar at first base. Could be worse. Could be slightly better. I don't know. He is in a decline. There's no doubt about that. I've given you the numbers that illustrate that. Okay, here are the first basemen in terms of weighted runs created plus that puts him in the ballpark with a group of first basemen who would be similar to the offense that Arenado would bring to first base, right? Let me go down this list. Jake Cronenworth, Vinny Pasquantino, Carlos Santana, Ty France, Andrew Vaughn, Nolan Chanuel, Ryan Mountcastle, Ryan O'Hearn, Spencer Torkelson, Jake Berger. There's a few of those guys, so they're pretty good hitters. But the thing of it is, over the last 2 years, their numbers compared to Arenado's numbers the last 2 years, in some cases are better, but they're not dramatically better. That's why I said they're all in the same kind of in the same bucket, if you will, in terms of performance offensively and what to expect. So a lot of people keep wanting to trade Arenado to the Red Sox because the Red Sox, I guess, have been telling media they're going to move, you know, they're really willing to move Rafael Devers off third base and make him a DH or, you know, whatever. Well, they have Yoshida as their DH, and he's got time left in his contract. And he's put up above average numbers there at DH. So I'm not sure how they get ahead if they bring Arenado, put him at third, Devers at DH. Devers' bat would be really good, but the offense that Yoshida has provided as a DH is better than the offense that Arenado would provide hitting in terms of playing third base. And don't assume, you know, Fenway Park would be this tonic for him. It would transform him into a power hitter. Oh, he'd love to hit at the green. Well, maybe he'd get a lot of doubles. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, be careful about what you assume. That's all. I don't know that that's the fountain of youth. And it's also a tremendously chaotic franchise where the owner's meddling all the time and they keep changing their plans every other month. You know, I don't know. It's just kind of a zoo there. It's underrated for that. So, yeah, I don't know. And so, well, you could, how about Arenado playing first base? The Red Sox got a really good young first baseman, Tristan Casas. So why would they maybe trade him for pitching? I don't know. See, that's why I don't get into all these hypotheticals, these fantasy GM trades. I don't know. And they're just way too easy to concoct. And there's no way of knowing whether any of these fake trades that we make up, well, you can just trade Costas and get a pitcher. Well, maybe you can, but maybe you won't. I don't know. Again, we assume things. So anyway, and also the Red Sox, the thing I keep going to is looking at them. You know, they're going to go all in on starting pitchers, but if they want to get a third baseman, just spend the money on Alex Bregman. It'd be a lot easier. I do think the Yankees probably are a better fit if we're going to do fantasy baseball because their third baseman, their young third baseman, you know, in terms of defensively, not that good. At least that's what everyone there says. So this could work, and then they could move. They could move some of the furniture around. I don't know. There could be a fit, but you're at the end of the day, you're still looking at a 34-year-old guy who's got 3 years left. His final three years, $74 million. He would be 34, 35, 36. His offense has been in a pretty steep 2-year decline. It ain't going to get better. And then if you move him to first base, you're losing the defensive value, which is a big part of his overall value. And he's got the no trade. So even if you want him, he may say no. We're going around in circles, but I wanted to just kind of go into a little deeper dive about this whole, well, he's willing to move to first base. Okay, good. But, is that going to move the needle all that much when teams realize, well, wait a minute, one of the reasons we want him is because he plays a hell of a third base. But yeah, it might bring some teams into the market, as I alluded to. Let me shut up. I appreciate you for watching. If I don't come back later today with a video, I want to wish you and your family, your loved ones, a happy Thanksgiving. And at the latest, I'll be back Friday morning. Seriously, have a wonderful couple of days. And I appreciate all of you. Thank you very much.